Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 147 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, only just, Shelton Muller. How are you?
a rather frantic Shelton Muller, trying to get everything done before heading off to Anaheim in the US of A.
Which is 48 hours away?
Leaving, something like that. Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Bruce, for reminding me, and now I'm even more frantic.
Excellent. So you're pretty excited about the trip, I would imagine.
Very much so. What I'm really loving is the fact that in 13 years of running a photography magazine, I never got a chance or never had the budget to head over to the United States for this fantastic trade show.
Yeah, right.
And in 1 year of running creative photo workshops, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
It's fantastic. So if you're out there listening and you're thinking, which one should I do, run a workshops business or a magazine, now you know. No, but I'm really looking forward to it. Glenn and I have got some cool stuff organized. We've got great meetings lined up. Looking forward to seeing all the new Canon and Nikon. Did I say, sorry. Looking forward to seeing all the Nikon and Canon gear and Sony and others, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put Canon first. It must have been an alphabetical order thing in my head. And we've got a shoot lined up with a model named Jacqueline Gray, who's very beautiful and is looking forward to, and she's a very California girl, so we're looking to shoot with her. And on our off time, we might head down to Tijuana just for a bit of a look around.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, And here's a really cool thing. We're having we're going to a cocktail party at David Honnell's studio.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to that as well. So,
awesome.
Hobnobbing. Yeah, going to be cool. Yeah, and David Honnell apparently is really excited because he hears that I'm coming. So, so funny, Bruce.
Great. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, it should be good. Should be good fun. So we're heading over there. And now here's the thing. My good friend, Mr. Adam Davidson, has got a little Zoom recorder.
Oh, is that right?
As a result of listening to the last podcast we did. So I'm going to get one off of him, and I might even...
You're not saying he went out and bought it since the last episode?
No, he has one, apparently. He owns one.
Right, cool.
Yeah, so it looks like I'll be able to get hold of that. Thank you, Mr.
Fantastic.
Davidson.
Fantastic. Thanks, Adam.
Perhaps do some interviews and things while I'm there.
Cool.
So we can throw some of that maybe, into another podcast at a future.
Definitely. That'd be great.
Yeah, because, I mean, it'll be a couple of weeks at least before, you know, it'll be early March before I'm able to do another podcast with you.
Certainly.
So, I'll at least gather some material that we can put together.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, that should, you know, and there's anything particular or anyone particular that, you know, you'd like me to interview and I can get my hands on, let us know before we go. Okie dokie.
Oh, mate, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'll just need a crash course on how to run the thing. I'm not Bruce Williams after all.
They're not that hard, mate.
No, oh, good. They sort of self-adjust and that kind of thing, do they?
Yeah. I'll jump online, grab an instruction manual, and I'll talk to you on the phone before you go.
All right, no worries.
And just make sure you've got it set the right way so that we get great recordings out of it.
Right, no problem.
Awesome.
No worries. So look out for that, folks. Look out for that.
Cool.
And Mr. Prime Wide Angle, how are you doing?
Mate, I cannot believe this. Get this right. I paid for this lens on Wednesday of last week.
Yeah.
The lens was in Japan.
Right.
And it was delivered to my door on Saturday morning.
Fantastic.
How awesome is that?
They're an efficient nation.
When I left feedback on eBay, I said, you know, ridiculously fast delivery.
He must have just gone, bing, I wrapped it up.
I just couldn't believe it, you know, because I heard someone knocking on the door and Kath and I were still in bed. It was like 8 o'clock Saturday morning.
Still in bed at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, it's the only morning I do get to sleep in. And she goes off to the door and I hear this, you know, this guy go, Bruce Williams. And I was just about to drag myself out of bed and I heard Kath go, thanks, and then the door shut.
Yep.
I'm thinking, oh, wonder what that was all about. And then she walks in with this box and I'm going, what's that? And she goes, it's your lens. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. 48 hours? That's just awesome.
So it's a Minolta lens? Or
it is a genuine Minolta 20mm 2.8.
So what kind of vintage are we talking?
I don't know, to be honest. I would imagine it would be somewhere around the 12 to 15 year mark.
Right.
but it's in brilliant condition.
Oh, excellent.
The guy had it listed, and he said, you know, it's in excellent condition. There are a couple of, you know, minor hairline scratches on the front element.
Yeah.
But nothing that will affect the quality of the images.
No.
So I sent him a message first saying, do you have any images that were taken with that lens? Just, you know, I'm just a little concerned about the scratches thing. And he wrote back to me and he said, look, dude, internet quality, you wouldn't detect it anyway. He said, but I absolutely assure you, you will not be able to detect any, artifacts in your images from this lens. And if you, if you're prepared to take the risk, I will give you a full 7-day refund if you're not happy with the lens.
Right.
And I said, okay, based on that, I'm prepared to take your word for it. And I've always had, you know, really good transactions with everyone I've dealt with on eBay. I've never been burned, even though I do hear horror stories. So I thought, well, I'll give it a go. You know, the guy's saying he'll give me a refund if I'm not happy with the lens. So, yeah, got the lens on there and just, oh, man, I love it.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful focal length. And you're going to love it in New Zealand too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I've said to a couple of people over the last couple of days that I think that at least for a little while, this is going to be my live-in lens.
Yeah.
I just love it.
For landscape, the 20mm is a beautiful focal length. It really is. Just a little bit wider than, well, a fair bit wider than 24, but not to the point where it looks ridiculously distorted.
Yeah, well, I don't have 24. I've got 28 on the wide end of my Tamron zoom, which was, as I said in the last step, that's why I didn't go for a 24. I thought it was worth going that extra step.
Yes.
And, you know, stopped right down. I don't know if you saw the images I put up on my Facebook page. I put an album together of just 20mm test shots. And there were a couple of shots I took yesterday at work in the studio. And I didn't have my tripod with me, so I just sat the camera down on the desk and just shut it right down to F20. It goes to F22, but I just shut it down to F20. It was about a 3.2-second exposure.
Yeah.
But just the depth of field on it is just sensational.
Yeah.
And
they're designed, of course, to be sharp at those apertures because they're landscape lenses.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You'll love it. You'll love it. What's interesting, of course, is, you know, and it's a great thing that you've got a brand new camera. You've got the A850.
Yep.
And you've got a 12 to 15-year-old Minolta lens on there, and it's all working gorgeously.
Yes.
That really is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a really big plus for Sony. As it is, you know, of course, a plus for, you know, Nikon, who can, you know, do the same thing. So I imagine you're going to be, you know, trawling the internet for Minolta lenses, are you?
Well, look, you know, the two things that have been on my wish list for a long time have been a wide angle and a 70 to 200 2.8.
Yep.
So really, that's the last thing I'm really holding out for now is that fast zoom. And you know, because I've just bought this now, the fast zoom will have to wait a while.
Fair enough.
You know, but we'll get there.
Well, so, you're a panorama landscape shooter anyway.
And through the week I started googling panoramic heads and ended up at the Nodal Ninja site. Have you seen their panoramic heads?
No, I know of them.
Yeah.
It's not something that I do a heck of a lot of, so...
I'm thinking I'm going to have to get one of these puppies because they are just great. Basically what happens is when you go for a shorter focal length, you know, the wider you go, the more chance there is that you stand of getting what's called a parallax error.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, what it is when you, let's say you shoot something that's straight ahead and then you rotate, you know, your lens around 45 degrees to take your next frame, what it is that the parts of the image that are at the edges of the frame don't line up anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's because of this, you know, unnaturally wide angle. And part of it is to do with where the camera is pivoted from. Now, by default, when you mount your SLR on top of a tripod, the mounting plate is directly under the sensor.
Mm-hmm.
But the parallax error is actually byproduct. That's not the word I wanted, but I'll go with it. A byproduct of the actual focal length of the lens that you're using. Mm-hmm. And there is a point part of the way along the length of the lens, which is referred to as the no parallax point. And it's mm-hmm. that point that if you can identify it, and if you can then pivot the camera body and lens on that point rather than on the point where the screw-in socket is on the base of the camera body,
yeah.
if you can pivot on that point, you don't get that parallax error. And that's uh-huh. what these guys, Nodal Ninja, have done. They've built all these panoramic heads that allow you to mount the camera, and it attaches to your tripod, you know, the headstock of your tripod, but it then has this apparatus that allows the camera to move backwards or forwards so that depending on what focal length lens you've got, you can get it to that no parallax point for that lens so that you can then pivot. And they've got different heads, you know, some that are designed to just shoot single row panoramas, which is generally what I do.
Yeah.
Or they have these other heads which are designed to allow you to then shoot multi-row panoramas. Much like the Gigapixel Dresden that I told you about last week.
Yes.
So I'm thinking I might have to invest in one of these, you know, single row panorama heads, because it's basically just this sliding plate that you mount your camera on, and then you move the camera backwards and forwards, and you just rotate it, and all you need is two objects in front of your shooting position that are in a straight line from where you're standing, so that they, you know, so that the back object is hidden by the front object.
Yep.
And then you look through the lens, and as you pivot the camera, if the object which is further away comes into view, you've still mm-hmm. got a parallax error. So you just keep adjusting your position of your camera, like forward and backwards along this track.
Yep.
And once you get to that point where the two objects always stay in line so that the back one is always hidden, that's when you've found your no parallax point for that lens, and then off you go. You just shoot your panorama, and all of your edges will line up when you import that into Photoshop.
Well, Nodal Ninja are going to love you for that ad, I tell you what.
They are. What you should do is you should go to their stand and say, hey.
Yeah.
Pick one
you
up.
You owe me big time. Yeah. Give me one of these free things right now.
Yeah. So I was looking at their website and going, yeah, this is what I need.
Yeah. And are they expensive?
Well, the single row one, I think, I can't remember what they called it, the something or other 180. It just had some letters in front of it. I think it was about $190 American.
Right, okay.
The ones that allow you to
do... The American economy the way it is, that's about $30 Australian now, isn't it?
Well, it should be. The trouble is they don't have anyone importing their stuff into Australia.
I'll have to pick you up one while I'm there.
Well, mate, if you could, that'd be fantastic. I would be more than happy to pay you for it when you...
Do you know where they're based?
I don't. Right. I think Nodal Ninja as a company are based in California, but I'm sure they'd have... You know, you could probably walk into any decent photo store over there, like any photographic supply store, and you'd probably have them in stock. But they're bound to be at the PMA trade show. So, I mean, if you want to swing by and
grab one.
Yeah, if you can. That'd be awesome.
And you will be paying me. I will be making a profit too. Absolutely.
Of course you would.
You know, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for too long not to be getting, you know, some profit out of the thing.
That's right.
You know, so expect a $20 markup, my friend. Absolutely.
No worries.
No, I'll grab you one if I'm there, mate.
And I'll start invoicing you for all the CPW mentions.
CP what? Five minute what?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I suppose, you know, that the one thing that I really want to say is that I'd really like to meet as many of the listeners as possible.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if they're going to get to hear this before I get back, but I am in, you know, California until I get home on the 2nd of March.
Right.
So even during PMA, you know, I'll put it up on Facebook and et cetera, et cetera. But even if you don't hear this till early next week, I'll still be there for a little while. We're running a workshop through Paul's Photo in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So, you know, if you want to be a part of that, we'd really love to have you along. And, you know, love to meet any of the listeners as well. Like, it's great, you know, like I was saying a while back, to walk through Rockhampton and have some fellow walk up to me and say, "Oh, Shelton Muller, aren't you? I listen to your podcast." And, you know, that was Mark Chapman. Hello, Mark. And, you know, we keep in touch, which is really, really cool. And it's nice to meet people who listen and, you know, know me by voice, but I'd like to know them and get to meet them. So let's see if that can happen. So, Bruce, you're going to have to get this podcast out really quick. You're going to have to get it up on before PMA. Come on.
When's PMA?
It starts Friday.
This Friday. So you don't fly out of here till, but you lose a day going over, so you'll arrive Thursday, of course. Yeah. Okay, well, look, I can edit this and get it out today. That's not
that'd be awesome.
That's not a problem. I can do that.
Because you're taking a sickie today, aren't you?
I am.
Yep, because you sound pretty sick to me. I don't even know how you've managed the strength to get up and do this podcast.
I'm quite happy to say... tell people why I'm having a sickie today. For some reason, Aztec did not want to go to sleep last night. I don't know what his story was. Normally,
Aztec's your boyfriend. Who's Aztec?
Aztec's the dog.
Oh, dog. Yeah. But it was a really cool name for somebody new in your life. Sorry.
I'm not even going there. So, I mean, he's over a year old. He's 15, 16 months old now. And generally, you know, Kath goes to bed 8, 9 o'clock. I'm usually on the computer working, doing something till, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock every night. And the dog normally sleeps, you know, here beside me in my studio while I'm working. And then when I'm ready to go to bed, I put him outside. And he goes and sleeps on the couch out on the back veranda, which is his designated spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, I put him out there as normal. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I was like, what's his problem? So I went out there and I was like, shut up, go to sleep, get on your bed. Go on. And I went straight back to bed.
Of course, to a dog that's blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He understands the tone of voice, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
And... and then 15 minutes later, it was on again, so I went back out, and I said, "Oi, get on your bed, go to sleep," you know, and I stood out there, and I made sure he got on the couch, and I told him to go to sleep, and I went back to bed, and then again, half an hour later, it was on again, and this time, it was 12:15, and I went out there, and I thought, I'm just going to sit on the couch with him until he goes to sleep, and then I should be right. Ended up sitting there until 1 o'clock, so I was there for 45 minutes, and he went to sleep, and I thought, okay, finally, I can go and get some sleep.
Yeah.
2:30, on again. And then again at 4:30. It was all night. And I refused to let him in the house. He's never slept in the house before. He's always been an outdoor dog. And I thought, I'm not going to let him get into the mindset that all he has to do is sit at the door and whinge and whine all night and he'll get let in. I'm not falling into that trap. So by the time morning rolled round, I was just absolutely wrecked. So,
well, you sound pretty good now, mate.
Well, I had a couple of hours sleep after Max went to school and Kath went to work. So, yeah. So, anyway, I might be able to get out and mow the lawn this afternoon or something like that.
Yeah. I tell you what, I don't know if anybody's seen the shoot that we did on Wednesday night for our Creative Photo Workshop Summer Series.
Emerging Nymph.
Yeah, the Emerging Nymph.
Mate, they are awesome shots.
Yeah, everybody was happy, which, you know, is with the shots that they got. And, you know, that's really cool. We did some interesting things that evening. And I just thought that for this podcast, I could run through a few of the things that we came up with.
I'd love to hear them.
Well, there was a couple of interesting things. There was, we had a fire spinner, of course.
Yes.
And it was beautiful to see people using longer shutter speeds and getting the patterns of the fire. And then, of course, rear curtain, you know, syncing with off-camera flash.
Yep.
Very, very, very powerful technique. We had to wait until the sun had pretty much set before we could actually, you know, get the shots because...
Too bright.
It was too bright.
Yep.
I tried doing some photographs earlier. You'll notice if you go to our Creative Photo Workshop site, and you look at the news section, there's a video there of the evening, And there's a bit of footage there of Chris Carlos, our fire spinner, and he's doing a bit of, but you can see that it's still quite bright. And I went over to photograph him at that stage to get things started, but there was no way that I could actually get the fire to, you know, be visible enough in the image, considering that the day was still quite bright.
So
we had to wait. Yeah, we had to wait for the sun to go down a little bit more. And then, of course, we had the issue of, well, how do you light him now? But it actually seriously worked to our advantage because we had an off-camera flash, the little battery-powered flash head that I've got, which is fantastic. Distributed a whole bunch of pocket wizards to everybody.
Cool.
And then we just sort of we worked at about F8, F9 at 1.5 to 2 seconds exposure. So it allowed Chris to form a pattern with his...
with the flame, yep.
The flame, the tools that he used, because he used, you know, flames on the end of chains and rods and all sorts of stuff.
Awesome.
And it gave us a pattern. And then, of course, at the end of that, fired off with a flash. So it was really, really cool. We'll be doing it again soon. But Glyn came up with a really cool little technique, and I want you to go out and try this. He did it in a shoot a while back, but we did it the other night as well. I didn't actually get this photograph because I was assisting another group when they were photographing Sophie Vandenacker, our model. And isn't she beautiful?
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I was looking at her face while Christina was doing the makeup.
Yep.
And I was looking at each of her features. And she has just the most perfect eyes, the most perfect nose, the most perfect mouth, and a beautiful shaped face. She's just absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Yep.
You know, I'm not into blondes and all that kind of thing. I just, you know, so it has nothing to do with anything, you know, in my personal taste. I was just literally looking at the geometry of her face, and she's absolutely gorgeous and perfectly chosen model for that particular shoot. But how did I get on the set? Oh, yeah, that's right.
You were off shooting her while Glyn was doing something else.
And do you blame me? I mean, she was gorgeous. but Glyn had this setup whereby he had Richard, who's just a friend of my son's, actually. And he came along to a workshop one night. We were doing a summer series workshop, and at the last minute, our model just couldn't make it. 20 minutes out, and she couldn't make it.
Oh, okay.
She accidentally realized that she'd double booked, so she sent me a text message on my phone. I've double booked. I'm so sorry. So I'm down one model. I've got one model, a young girl, Carolyn Tra.
Yep.
And then I was going to have this other one as well, Lauren Busaka, for our summer series workshop. Anyway, I've put this up on Facebook on my mobile, you know, and Richard pipes up and says, "I'll come down." And he's been to every single one since, you know. And this particular time, we had him out. We got him in one of my old suits, and we got him to walk out, you know, up to his knees in the ocean.
Yes, I saw those. Yeah.
And Glyn did something really interesting. He put a small flash gun up into his umbrella.
Oh, yes.
And I thought that was really, really cool. So here's Richard, underexposed ambient.
It's right? Very Pink Floyd.
It's very Pink
Floyd. Very Pink Floyd.
Yep. Yep. I was wondering, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. It's very Pink Floyd.
It is.
It's the kind of thing you'd expect to be on their, you know, on one of their album
covers. It's like the, you know, the Delicate Sound of Thunder with the guy covered in light bulbs, you know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, we've got actually, for an upcoming workshop, where we're going to actually replicate the Wish You Were Here cover.
Wish You... Oh, the guy burning?
The guy on fire, yeah.
And the handshake? Whoa.
Yeah, we're going to see if we can actually do it. And this is, of course, a secret, but we're going to see if we can actually do it.
Newsflash, it's not a secret anymore.
I'm not just talking to you, am I?
No, mate, you're not.
Hello, listeners. Is anybody out there?
Just not if you can hear me.
See if we can, we're doing a Trash the Dress on March the 10th.
Right.
And my thought is, if I can get this guy in a suit on fire... You know, holding hands with the bride, standing, you know.
Wow.
Awesome, awesome shot.
So you'd need a stuntman who's into that kind of stuff.
Well, that's right. And we've found one, and we're going to see it. Going to see if it's possible.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So don't tell anyone, will you?
But no, mate.
That's our plan. But I just thought that this shot was really cool. And
absolutely.
When Glyn had done it before, what he'd done is he'd used a photographic umbrella. and he had reflected the flash up into the brolly.
Oh, okay.
And had a wider spread.
Yep.
But we used a normal brolly this time. I don't think it's a photographic one. I'm not quite sure.
Right.
But it has a more direct spread because I think he just pointed the flash
down.
Straight down.
Right.
And it just, you know, the variety of things that you could do just with that.
I was just about to say that I had interrupted you just as you were about to explain the exposure setup. So, yeah, please go ahead.
Well, the exposure setup is basically, you know, a guide number divided by distance equals aperture.
Yep.
And so, you know, he basically worked out that you to expose for the side of Richard's face, which the light was hitting on, there would have been maybe, you know, a meter in it.
Yeah,
you know?
At the most, yeah.
Yeah. So guide number divided by distance equals aperture. And then really after that, it's a matter of how much do you want to expose the ambient?
Right.
Do you want to underexpose it or overexpose it? So find your aperture. That's fairly unchangeable. You know, that's fixed.
Yep.
The only way you can really change that is by altering your ISO.
Yep.
But the guide number divided by distance, you know, equals aperture calculation is fixed. So you find your aperture and then, you know, which was probably I would estimate somewhere around F11, F16.
Right.
Now that means that in this sort of post-sunset, you know, or near sunset.
Of course, you say somewhere around F11, F16. That, of course, depends on whether or not you're firing at full power or half power or
something else.
Yeah.
So I should have actually got Glyn on here and said, what did you come up with? But, you know, normally at that sort of distance, you know, you're working at, you know, a fairly small aperture because the flash is pretty small. He might have wound it down a little bit. I'm not sure. Probably he had it at a fairly high, you know, f-stop because, though, it enabled him to underexpose the ambient.
Right.
And I don't think sun was quite set when these photographs were taken. So
right.
He was able to shoot at a hand-holdable shutter speed with a small aperture, giving him plenty of depth of field and, you know, just beautifully lighting up Richard against that backdrop. The great thing about that night is that all around Melbourne there were storms.
Right.
Lightning and rain and hail all around Melbourne except for one spot.
Where you guys were.
Where we were. So it was awesome, dude. We had all the clouds, you know,
yeah.
and all the atmosphere that's created by, you know, storm clouds and wind and all that. We had all of that, but no, not a drop of rain, you know, and it was absolutely fantastic.
While you were off working with Sophie, I noticed there were some shots there, and I was keen to ask, were you lighting her with flash or were you just reflecting daylight back at her?
Oh, no, that's definite flash.
Right.
And again, the great thing, and one of the great things that we find about having a video, they're great little marketing tools to show how much fun we have on our workshops.
Yep.
But the video actually shows the real lighting situation. So if you're listening to this podcast, get onto the creativephotoworkshops.com.au and find that video under news. Under our news menu, and have a look at the real lighting situation, and you can see what it was like. It was very boring light,
right?
You know, quite boring light. But we had the cloud, and we knew we were going to get some orange as the sun set. So we waited for that moment, and it was perfect timing because Christina finished the makeup, and then, you know, we got Sophie down, got her lay down in the water into the rock pool.
Yep.
And away we go. We weren't that far from shore or anything like that. It was, you know, beautiful sort of tidal situation. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the flash is just a little – that same flash head that I was talking about that we bought from Dragon Image. In Australia, you can get them for about $695, but I think
Is that the one you were trialing when I came to the wedding workshop?
Ended up buying it.
Yeah, right.
We're getting a couple more, actually, because they are perfect for workshops.
I suppose they recharge a lot faster than like an SB900 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, at full manual, they've got thousands of flashes in the battery. They're amazing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so for a workshop, they're ideal. We were handing out, you know, pocket wizards and people just going bang, 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 bang. And, you know, they were taking their shots side by side and it really wasn't a worry.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, if we'd had a battery-powered flash or something like that, it would have, you know, drained it. People would have waited for it to recharge. And when you're running a workshop, you can't have that. It's, you know,
not
enough everybody sitting on top of everyone. But if you look at the video, you'll see Adam Davidson sitting on top of Keith, who's prostrate in the water, to, you know, Richard Ingram. Everybody was keen to get the shot. But the great thing is that they all did.
Cool.
But what the variety of shots is created by the fact that, yes, the flash is off to camera left. And, you know, we had Sophie posing for the light, not turning her face into the light, then turning her face away. We lifted it and we lowered the light. And then, of course, the other combination is how much of the ambient do you want to expose? Same thing for Richard's flash and umbrella shot, you know. And if you want to really change the nature of how the ambient is registered, then it's a simple case of, again, we had to do the guide number divided by distance calculation to get the f-stop. So I was telling everybody, look, we're at about F8, F9, something like that. And then they could work up to their top synchronization speed for an off-camera manual flash, which was about 250th of a second. So that gave them a perfect, you know, combination of exposure at F8, F9, 200th, 250th. Some decided they'd shoot at 125th or 160th, depending on how much of the ambient light they wanted to register and what level of color saturation they wanted to get in the orange that was behind her in the sunset. So it was a really cool lesson for those who came along in terms of managing the ambient situation, because as you can see from the video, it was actually pretty blah sort of light, really lovely for some things, but not for the dynamics of what we wanted to create. But
well, you certainly came out with some dynamic images.
The pictures, I mean, the really, as I've said before, the frustrating thing for me is not being able to just stay there and perfect this shot. You know, I got to get a shot for the blog and I've got to get a few shots and then get the hell out of everybody's way, because this isn't my shoot.
Yeah.
This is their shoot. So I was looking at images that people were coming up with on the back of their cameras thinking, oh, man, I wish I could shoot that, you know. Keith Anderson, you know, just got some beautiful photographs. And you know, Richard Ingram did. So did Natasha Humble, who was supposed to be, you know, actually, you know, holding the flash. But she passed it over to me and got a few shots herself.
Cool.
So many of the gang there got some great photographs, and they were, as Glenn says in the blog on our workshop site, they're magazine quality shots.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, got them. And that's a really rewarding thing. The excitement, you know, of that evening was fantastic. But in terms of the principles, the shoot was quite simple. You know, the hard part was just getting an awesome model and my sister, who's a fabulous makeup artist, getting the two together and getting the look. And now that we've done that, you know, we've sold out for a second one, you know, we're rerunning it. So
fantastic.
That'll be really interesting. You have to make your way down from Sydney to be a part of it, Bruce.
Well, it's that or New Zealand. So I'm leaning towards New Zealand.
Well, fair enough. But I mean, it's a cheap airfare from Sydney, mate. You just need to come down for the evening. Seriously. Crash on my couch, dude.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that was really, you know, and all I'm suggesting is that, you know, I would suggest everybody just get a little flash gun, you know, a little $10 flash gun they get from a secondhand shop, tape it up into an umbrella and see if and do a few experimental shots with that or find some other way to use a small flash hidden inside something. I was having a look at the photographs of Richard in the ocean and thinking, next time I'm going to actually bring a briefcase along.
Right.
And I'm going to put the flash in the briefcase.
And have him stand there holding the briefcase open.
Open, yeah, looking into it.
Yeah,
in
nice.
The water with the sunset behind him. I mean, it's just, you know, really weird.
And then what you do is you put a CTO gel over the flash so it looks like it's gold inside the briefcase reflecting onto his face.
A la Pulp Fiction, is that what you're thinking?
Oh, I'm sure it's been done a million times before.
So, you know, okay, fair enough. What is in that briefcase? Yeah, good idea. So we're going to be doing that. It's easy to do, though. You know, and that's what I wanted to say. You know, when you think of the fun that you can have with a radio-triggered tiny little flash gun, like you say, with a bit of gel or cellophane or something over the front of it, not hard to do. The secret is in, of course, balancing your flash exposure with your ambient. And the variety that you can get there is quite incredible. Your aperture won't change unless, of course, you dial your flash up and down. But the way that your ambient registers can certainly, and that's just one flash. Now imagine we add two or three. You know, the opportunities and combinations are endless.
And I would just like to jump in and say for anyone who's listening to all of this and going, Yeah, yeah, Shelton, it's all right for you. You've got all the wireless flash gear. Seriously, do what I did. Jump on eBay. You can pick up. You don't have to buy Pocket Wizards at $1,000 a set. You know, you can jump on eBay, pick up these cheap cactus triggers out of Japan or Taiwan, wherever they're made. And seriously, I bought one transmitter and three receivers so I can use three flashes simultaneously, and they cost and that cost me $45-$50 plus, you know, $10 freight.
Wow.
So, you know, for $60, I've now got, you know, the capacity to fire up to three flashes simultaneously, wirelessly, off my camera.
That's great. So, are these the V4s?
No, mine are not Cactus. They're some other brand, but they're almost identical to the Cactus. Like, you look at them and go, well, that just looks like Cactus, but without the word Cactus on the top.
Because Cactus is such a great name for a product, isn't it? Really?
Particularly in Australia, yeah.
In Australia, the word, if something's cactus, it means it's completely had it. It's broken.
It's dead. Dumb. It's broken. It's
dumb.
Kaput.
Yep. It's just dumb.
So all I wanted to say is that, you know, it doesn't have to be super expensive to get into doing off-camera flash, you know.
Yeah.
You can take these baby steps. Like I said, for an investment of $60, you can have the capacity to use your existing flash. It's not like you've got to go and buy some new special flash unit, but to be able to use that flash unit off the camera and start mucking around with some of these techniques that Shelton's talked about over the years, and it's not going to break the bank. And then if you decide that you really dig this whole off-camera flash thing and you want something better, well then, okay, later on down the track you can go and spend extra money and buy your Pocket Wizards and get, you know, more distance between the camera and the flash unit and things like that. And yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And try these things. It is such a, you know, we were talking last week about diversity.
Yes.
And it's a great new way of seeing and learning about light. One of the comments that we got from my good friend Keith, who came on this particular workshop, was that, you know, he's a landscape shooter, and for him the study has always been light on the land.
Right.
And his ability now to understand light, create light, you know, manipulate it, work with it, is completely broadened by the fact that he stepped out of his comfort zone. And he came to, you know, a people photography workshop, and he was laughing with me because, you know, people and, you know, landscapes, they're two opposite ends of the photographic scale.
Definitely.
But he's loved it, you know, and I mean, he still loves his landscapes and he's going to go out and shoot some more.
Awesome.
But he's now able to put a person in that landscape, a la wedding photography or location portraiture or whatever. He's now able to, you know, manipulate light in the landscape if he has a person there by using off-camera flash. His whole vision, just by doing a couple of little workshops and you know, saying, I'm going to step aside, I'm going to step over here, I'm going to do this instead, has completely changed by a couple of very simple techniques and some very simple principles. And now he's not only, I mean, he's an awesome landscape shooter. And Keith, g'day, I know you're probably listening. but he's, you know, he's the shots that he got of Sophie the other night are just amazing. And I thought, Keith, I looked at him and I slapped him and I said, you're a landscape shooter. Stop that. You know? And it really is fantastic to be able to take that to a completely different level. I don't know how photographers survive shooting the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it. I can understand if the work that they do naturally is diverse, like travel photographers, National Geographic photographers, or whatever. But if you're always just doing portraits, or always just doing weddings, or always just doing landscapes, even though you can travel the world doing landscapes, the formulas are much the same.
Yes.
You know? So Keith, for one, is one who can vouch for the benefits of diversification and the ability to, you know, understand and manipulate exposure and light in the camera. So just a couple of things. Get a little flash. Get a cheap umbrella. Get a guy, a friend, an old suit, you know, at a secondhand shop. Step out into a lake. Step out into the ocean and do some, you know, new Pink Floydian covers. Or get a you know, a briefcase, or an old book, some mystical book with a weird cover, and open it up and have it lit, lit from the inside with a little, you know, palm-sized flash gun. All sorts of things you could do. Play with the mixture of ambient and flash exposure, and you're going to get some... It's so simple to do, and you're going to get some great photographs.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what we're... That's basically all we did last week, and awesome. It was really, really cool.
That's so cool.
We'll have to get you down for another one, mate.
Well, yeah, definitely. And I'm looking forward to, you know, doing my best to replicate what you guys did when we have our next meetup here in Sydney.
Because you've got Tara.
We have got Tara, yeah. So, forward to trying out some of those things and seeing how we go.
Fantastic.
Because we won't have a Shelton or a Glenn with us to advise us. So.
But you'll have a Bruce Williams.
Well, hopefully that will be enough.
Fine. Look, essentially, once you understand the principles, and I know that you do,
yeah.
the rest is just a matter of imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and that's the thing that blows me away about Glenn's stuff. You know, I've said to both you and he over the last week, you know, Glenn has such a different approach to a different vision to you. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just they're totally different styles, which,
yes,
you know, is fantastic. You know, I look at some of the stuff that Glenn does and I just think, how the hell does he come up with these mental ideas? You know, because, I mean, you've spoken a lot about pre-visualizing a shot.
Yes.
And I was talking to Natalie on Facebook yesterday about, you know, she would like to understand how I approach panoramas.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, it comes back to what Shelton says about pre-visualizing. You know, I sort of pre-visualize how that shot's going to look and then, you know, work out how I'm going to shoot it. And I look at Glenn's work and I just think, man, where does his head go to come up with these ideas?
Yeah.
He's got some great stuff. You know, I think back to the ones that he did a few months back where he had a model. I don't know, was it Tash? It might have been Tash or it might have been somebody else. But there was a series of parallel walls with archways and he put a flash behind each wall and a different colored gel over them. And so you had this sort of layered effect of these different walls, each lit up with a different colored gel. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was Natasha.
It was Tash,
it's an old abandoned warehouse that, you know, he finds these awesome locations too, man.
Yeah.
You know, abandoned buildings and homesteads in the middle of, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from Glenn and, you know, he says he's learned a lot from me. And together, I think we form a very interesting team because our vision is different and we both learn from each other and respect each other tremendously. But his head's in a completely different space to mine,
yeah.
You know. And that's really great. You know, that's the way it should be. If we both shot the same way, our workshops would be very one-eyed.
Yep.
And, you know, wouldn't really be fair on the customer. So the fact that he's got this, he's probably done a bit, you know, what did William Shatner say in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home? He's done a little bit too much LDS at Berkeley. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you have to be a Trekkie to understand. That's fine.
I'm not.
But it probably comes from years of serious drug abuse.
Right.
Glenn was a wild boy, but I don't think he was quite that wild. he's just got this really cool vision, and I really appreciate it because it enhances not only our business, but it enhances my vision. And then, of course, you know, he learns my shooting technique. And we together are able to, you know, do some really cool stuff. And we're doing some educational videos for, you know, PMA soon and all that kind of thing. So the two of us form this interesting – and that, again, is a great reason why you should just always do photography with friends. You probably found that out, you know, when you went out with others.
Yeah.
Their vision – the way they see something is completely different to yours.
Absolutely.
And you can learn from it a lot, you know.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see what you come up with on your next evening out.
Yeah, me too. I'm hanging out for it.
So. Mm.
All right, mate. Well, you have a safe flight there and back.
It's United Airlines, so I can't promise you.
Enjoy PMA, which I'm sure you will.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
And say good day to Dave and Claudia for me.
Dave and Claudia, yes, will do. Now, how do you know Dave and Claudia?
I talk to them on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. I need another coffee. Perhaps I should. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did too. That's right. I will. I'll say good day to them for you.
And they were both very keen to come back on the podcast at any time in the future. So you know, one of these days when you're not around, I should give him a call. In fact, I should drop him an email now and say, how are you placed in a fortnight's time?
Yeah.
And because
he
could give me the goss on what's going on over there, you know, with you guys and, you know, your workshops and...
So I caught up with this Shelton Miller guy. Yes. He's a real idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, cool.
Well, do that, mate. You never know.
Yeah. All
I'll
right,
see if I can line up some other celebrities so that, you know, we have some real people talking on this podcast.
Mate, it would be awesome to have more guest photographers. That would be great.
Fantastic. We'll work to that end.
Let's throw down the challenge to Glenn. I want Annie Leibovitz.
mention it and he'll... I'll do it. Absolutely.
Get out your little black book, Heidi.
Yes, I don't know that he was impressed with your Heidi class.
Oh, that was a good line.
That was a good line. No. But I can't actually on air tell you, what he said.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, you guys have a great trip, and we will all certainly look forward to hearing from you when you get back.
Hopefully some interesting interviews and things. That I'll see what I can do.
Awesome.
See what I can do while I'm there, you know.
Cool.
All right.
We'll talk to you in March.
Yeah, you bet.
See
you,
mate.
See ya.
This has been another audiotou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
shuttersincpodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audiotou.com.